Amen. Thank you so much. Praise God. It is awesome to be here. As I now say, it's awesome to be anywhere. But it's especially special to be here. And I always enjoy sharing at Campus Days and getting to meet a lot of you and share the word with you. And looking forward to this time. We have books. So this is the one that got me healed, the one I wrote, called He Healed Them All, amen, including me. And anyway, this is a great book. All these books are out there somewhere on the book tables or in the bookstore. This is the first book I wrote, Did God Do This to Me? This is more of a question and answer book. It started with the former director of the school. He asked me to do some frequently asked questions for the website, so I said, sure. And then he got inspired. He says, this should be a pamphlet. Can you make it bigger? I said, okay. So I started working on a longer version, and then he finally says, you know what, I think this should be a book. And I said, okay. So it wouldn't have been my first choice for a book, but anyway, it's got some interesting questions and hopefully some answers in there. And then Hearing God is what I was gonna speak on today, but I've changed. Time has flown. But this is a great book. A lot of my experiences in here about how to hear God and how God can lead you and guide you and direct you and warn you. It's good stuff. My latest book, Shaping Your Future, is on the power of the seed and how you have influence over your future, whether you know it or not. In fact, your future, where you're living right now, you have created in many senses of the word. And so we have great influence over our future. Is Matt near? Okay, I'll let you discern who needs those. Okay, amen. Praise God. So I've been enjoying this week, for me, seeing certain people up on the stage. It's triggered memories, kind of a trip down memory lane. Mike and Carrie, when they were up speaking, I was remembering my time with them in Russia. I got to spend a week with them in Russia and minister, and they had me speaking about 14 hours a day, and, or maybe it was more, I forget. Anyway, but it was a blessing. And then when Ashley and Carly were up here, I don't think they're here today, but my first year when I moved from AWM over to Caris, I was put in charge of I was the first third year coordinator when third year was one group. Didn't have all of the fancy stuff we have now. And Ashley and Carly were my assistants. And so to see what God has done with them, and I didn't never understand a word they said, but you know, we had a lot of hand signals. And, they did real good, and now I have a ministry all over the world. That's awesome. And then I saw Daniel up here, and I can remember when he used to be my son. He now thinks he's my boss. I let him think that, it's okay. I'm very secure in who I am. No, it's a blessing, and Pastor Lawson is such a blessing, and during my healing journey, he was calling me very frequently, praying for me, and just a real blessing in my life, and everyone that's been up here, obviously Andrew, thank you for this. Praise God. We are so blessed. You are sitting in the middle of a miracle. And if you can't tell, we like it here. This is, and you would too if you'd come to school. Amen. This is such a blessing. Praise God. All right, so my message has evolved over the week as different speakers have stolen my stuff. But I finally just said, the heck with it. This is what I'm going to preach. So, praise God. I believe you'll get blessed. But let's start in 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians something. I forgot to put the chapter here. I know the verses, 14 through 16, but be led by the Spirit and you can find this. says, see, I was making adjustments this morning and I forgot the chapter. Anyway, I've got the verse. Now, thanks, excuse me. That didn't work. Okay. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are an aroma of death leading to death, and to the other an aroma of life leading to life. I want to talk about smells. You think I'm kidding? I want to talk about the aroma of life versus the stench of death. And I want to help us distinguish between those smells. Amen. I remember once when I was in Boy Scouts, we lived in Southern California, and I went to a summer camp up in the mountains somewhere in Southern California, and did a week of whatever Boy Scouts do, you know, all the camping merit badges, all the running around, and campfires and cooking and all of this stuff. So after a week, my parents drove up to get me. And I got in the car, and within a minute, they both said, "Barry, my goodness, you stink. What in the world? Didn't you bathe the whole week?" And I said, "Well, no, I didn't need to. I don't smell anything. I mean, I think it's great. What's up?" And I say, "No, man, you smell, you stink." And I thought, well, you know, thanks a lot. But I didn't know I smelled because I had become used to it. But they knew I smelled because they weren't of that environment. We went camping once. This is many years later. I was probably 18, 19. We went on a church camp while I was in college and went camping out. And one guy wandered off in the woods at night. And all of a sudden we hear this yell, this scream, this guy. And then we hear the foot pounding, you know, poof, 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 running back toward camp. And what happened? What happened? He got sprayed by a skunk. It's down in Texas. And, of course, he was not allowed in his tent and had to sleep on a cement picnic table all by himself several campgrounds away. Of course, he knew he stunk, but so did everybody within about a mile. That was powerful, but a good illustration. Sometimes you stink and you don't know it, but everybody around you knows it. Because there are certain, we'll call it aromas, there are signs of where you are in your Christian life. And you know, when Adam and Eve sinned, God spoke to them and said, "Don't eat of this tree. When you do, you shall surely die." Well, what happens when something dies? It starts to rot. It starts to stink. And when they unleashed death in the world, that we are still dealing with the ramifications of that decision. And there is death all around us in our society. There is death, and when you see people, I mean, I talk to people all the time, I run into people, and I'm not in a form of judging, but you can see what sin has done to people. You can see it in their eyes. You can see it in their personalities. You can see it in their fear or their arrogance. You can see all kinds of signs of what sin has done. And I'm not necessarily saying their own sin, but just the sin that permeates the world in which we live. You can look in Washington. It stinketh. Yeah. It's full of death. Excuse my throat. I can't turn this off because they've got me automatically on, but anyway, if I have to clear my throat, please forgive me. But you look, I mean, no one up there seems to be capable of telling the truth. When I was a kid, I would look at, I'd see the news if my parents were watching it or whatever, and I would see these politicians, and I would think, these are the smartest people in the world. And these are the people that are at the cream of the crop. These are the people that have made it to the top. These are people we need to listen to. That's as a 6-year-old, 8-year-old, 9-year-old. Today I look at the people we have in Washington. This is the bottom of the barrel. These people have no business having a say over anything. And I'm going to say this a number of times, but they stink. There is an aroma of death, a stench of death from people that lie, people that are incredibly immoral, people that are stealing your money, people that are looking for any way to scam you. There's a stench of death. If you look into the entertainment world stinketh to high heaven. It is a stench of immorality beyond that which we have ever seen before. It used to be there, but it was hidden. My wife sometimes reads books about old-time movie stars, and she finds out they were just like modern movie stars. It was just hidden. It was the same stench. But we have that, and we pipe that, as Andrew said, we pipe that into our homes. And we pay to have them stink up our homes with that filth. That's the stench of death. When God told Adam and Eve, you shall surely die. There is something that has taken place in the world over the last several thousand years that is getting worse and worse and worse. And when people say, Barry, don't you think things are getting better? No, I don't. Technology does not mean things are getting better. The morality is getting worse. And I see what sin has done to people. I see how their lives have become twisted, and they don't even know it. But if you are walking in the aroma of Christ, you can sense the aroma of death, the stench of death. You can see what sin has done in people's lives. We can see, I mean, my goodness, had anyone ever dreamed of what is happening to our children today? What they're being exposed to and what people are fighting for the right to do, to have drag queens read them stories? What on earth? What kind of insanity is this? Insanity is a stench of death. These people are nuts. These people are crazy, and we're sending our kids to those schools. And now they want to give them drugs and change their makeup, so to speak, and surgery and all of this on kids because they had a bad day and felt like something's different, so I must be different. Well, let's chop this off and do this and give you some drugs. What are people thinking? This is a stench of death all around us. And then we bring it into the church. And we begin to make excuses for the death that is around us. And it really, what really pushes my buttons are those that make theology to accommodate it. And churches now are debating whether or not they should have gay marriages and gay priests and gay pastors and gay this and gay that. And I'm thinking, I smell it. Why don't you smell it? What happened to your sense of spiritual smell? This is the stench of death. This is incredible. And then we get to the theologies that accommodate defeat. And we have theologies that, well, you know, God is in control. That's death. It stinks. We have theologies about, well, whatever will be, will be. We have theologies that say, you know, God does whatever he wants and we just have to suck it up and sickness is okay. Sickness is sent to teach you something. That stinks. Come on. That stinks. And people that criticize those that are prosperous, those that are, God is blessing them. What should the blessing of God look like? Right. And we have people say, well, he shouldn't have an airplane. Why do you care? Why do you care? And let's come up with the theology. We're against prosperity gospel. I'm thinking, well, if you're against the prosperity gospel, you're against the gospel. Because it's all about increase. God is all about life. He's all about increase. He's all about blessing. And all we see in many churches, they say, well, signs and wonders have passed away and miracles have passed away. In your church, yeah, but not here. That stinks. Yeah.
When people start telling me what God will and will not do, what God can and cannot do, what God quit doing, when did he quit doing? Give me the date. I want the date. When did he quit doing it? When did he quit? He heals your baby one day, but he won't heal a baby the next day because that passed away overnight. That stinks. This is the aroma of death, and we've let it creep into the church to where we're accommodating death, we're accommodating poverty, we're accommodating sickness. God sent that to teach you something. Well, we don't know what, but something. You should learn something. No. But that's when we create those theologies, we are accommodating the death that began with Adam and Eve. When they unleashed death, they unleashed corruption, they unleashed the stench, the aroma of death unto death. And when the church says, yeah, come on in, we'll make room for that. That's wrong, folks. That's wrong. We are living in a society that is twisted, that's perverted, that's contaminated. It's cancerous. I mean, we could think of sin, and I'm not talking about individual sins. I'm talking about the spectrum of death in the earth, sin in the earth. Your sins may add to this problem, but I'm just talking about sin in general. It's like a cancer. It's like a cancer that we've put up with for too long. It says in Isaiah 5:20 says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Woe to them that call evil good and good evil. You know, I've been hearing, we've been in the last days since I got born again in 1972, and everything was about the last days then. And then in the 80s, Jimmy Carter became president, and then for sure Jesus is coming back. And we had freeze-dried food. We were storing up. I mean, it was the end. And we went through, some of you in my era know what I'm talking about. Then, you know, things have transpired and gone on and on. And I don't know if we're in the last of the last days, but I tell you one thing that really stands out to me. When we start doing to children what we're doing, I can't see this lasting much longer. It would be better that a millstone be hung around your neck and you'd be cast into the sea. That's Jesus said that. Amen. And when we start mutilating kids and exposing them to sexual perversion in kindergarten and on up, what in the world? That is the stench of death. And it says, those who call evil good and good evil, woe to them who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. We're in the middle of that right now. We are in the middle of one of the darkest times, or the darkest time probably in history, and it's only getting darker. And I had a pastor write me once, said, don't you think things are getting better? I think things are getting better. I think we're gonna... I don't even want to keep speaking about that then. It's incredible how sin has entered into even the genetic makeup. Your genes don't define you, but in the sense that you don't have to do what your genes say. Your genes have to do what you say. You can change your makeup. What you give yourself to, you become a slave of. And that can change even to the point of your DNA. Things can change because we become slaves to that which we bow the knee to. And the stench of death begins to take over. And you don't know it. Because when you're the one that's been at scout camp for a week and you get in the car, you think you smell like pine trees, but you don't. And when we're around people, and I'm not saying this to judge or criticize, I'm saying this to make us aware, people smell us. And are they smelling life? Are they smelling the joy of the Lord? Are they smelling peace that passes understanding? Or are they smelling death and fear and worry and all of these other things, immorality and perversion? What are they getting? What's your drift? What are you putting out? What is permeating your environment? How many of you ever walked into a home and you can tell that the couple that lives there, there's been something going on? There's tension in the air. You can minister to people and you can tell there's something going on. They can't look you in the eye. Sometimes they're shaking. Sometimes I understand it's a ministry time and we're trying to get people free. I get it. But you can see what sin has done to people. You can see what sin has done to families, tearing them apart. You can see all of these kinds of things everywhere we look. We're living in this darkened, contaminated world. It's reeking of death. Romans 12:2, it's been hit on several times this week, and it's important to always be doing this one. It says, and do not be conformed to this world. Question, why not? Do not be conformed to this world. Why would Paul say that? Why not? Because it stinks. It's reeking of death. And even when Christians come traipsing around trying to look like the world to be accepted, trying to do everything the world does, trying to have the same fun as the world has, it stinks. We should look different. We should be different. There should be something different about the body of Christ. How can you be the head and not the tail if you look like the tail? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, that which perhaps you have been conformed to is not the perfect and good and acceptable will of God. Don't be conformed to that anymore. It's dead. It's dying. It stinks. It's contaminating. And even in many churches, it's gotten in. And they're making room for it. They're making theologies to accommodate it. And people don't care anymore. What if people fell down dead in your church from being exposed for the lies they're telling? That happened in the first church. I don't hear that happening very much anymore. Why? Because they stink. They lied to the Holy Spirit. Dead. That's a different environment. I was talking in class last week, I guess, about this maybe. And hey, Mom, Dad, how was church today? It's awesome. Two people got slain in the Holy Spirit. For real? Yeah. 1 John 5:19. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. The whole world that a lot of people want to move up, upward mobility. I want this, I want that. I want to look like the world. I want to be in the world. It's under the stench of death. Yes. It stinks. There are times when you've run into people that have, I don't want to be too graphic, but people have had, we'll say, bad breath. I've probably been one of those people. And you want to be polite, but you don't want to get too close. Yeah? Or people that have, we'll say, been working out. And you get close to them and you want to be polite, but oh, you don't want to get too close. I want to be polite. I want the love of God to draw people. But there are some people I just don't want to get too close. In the sense I'm speaking of here, sin has created a stench of death in their lives. And they are full with the manifestations. They're full with the symptoms of it. Now, we in the ministry, we are here for you. But you may not know how much you stink and how hard it is for some of us to be around you. Amen? Because you have chosen to look like the tail. You've chosen to act like the world. You've chosen to accommodate everything that's going on in the world, and it's hard for some of us to understand the difference, to see where's the distinction, where's the dividing line, at what point did you get born again and the life of God came inside of you? Where's the evidence of that? Anybody still with me? Yeah. Romans 8:2 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of the stink of death." The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I want to talk to you about our redemption and what it means and what it should mean for each of us and in our lives. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. There is something called the Spirit of life, which is the opposite of what Adam and Eve unleashed when they ate of the wrong tree. They unleashed death. They unleashed everything that accompanies death. Every kind of malady, every kind of human suffering, everything that we say, well, why doesn't God do something? We did this. Adam did this. Adam and Eve did this. Jesus came to undo this. Hey! It says in, I think it's 1 John 5:18, I'm thinking, that he came to destroy the works of the devil. I'm not sure I called it right, but anyway. 1 John 3:8, thank you. I've got so many verses tumbling around up here. He came to destroy the works of the devil. When theologies accommodate the works of the devil and say, well, that was God. Well, what are the works of the devil? Why are we letting the stink of the devil into our theology and making doctrines to accommodate it? What did he come to destroy? The works of the devil. Well, then there must be a devil. And he must have some works. Amen? And they must be worthy of destruction. And Jesus came to destroy them. Is that right? Amen. So why are we letting it in the church? Why are we making doctrines to make everybody feel good? It stinks. It stinks. Now, I'm not against the people, but I'm against the stink. And we need to be aware, if we're going to set people free, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free, well, then we should be starting to smell better. Amen? There should be something inside of us of the excellence of God, the integrity of God, the love of God, the purpose of God, the vision, the dream of God. These things should be coming alive within us, and the stink of the past should be leaving. We shouldn't be saying, and this, let's do that and this. Let's make sure we everybody likes us. No, maybe it's age, I don't know, but I don't care if anybody likes me. I hear people say that all the time. Well, I'm old enough now to say what I think, you know. Well, maybe I've gotten there. But I am so focused in on the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that I don't want anything to do with the stink of death. I don't want to have to try and accommodate anybody in that arena. I love you. I want to help you. I want to minister to you. But I don't want to be like you. I got set free from that. As Jesse Duplantis says, what else in the world do you want to do? What else like the world do you want to be? When he runs into Christians, that you can't tell that they're Christians. Why do you want to be like the world? Amen. Romans 15:29, I love this verse. Romans 15:29 says, but I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Amen. The fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. He says, when I come to you, I want to come smelling good. I want to come with the full blessing. I want to come with the whole package. I want you to see what Christ can do. I was the chief among sinners. I led people to their deaths. I was a mess. But I want, when I come to you, I want to come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. This is Paul speaking. Why? Because there's something now different about him. Don't you think there was something different about Paul? After he went from being the chief of sinners to being a carrier of the fullness of the blessing. What are you a carrier of? Amen. What are you carrying? The aroma of life or the stench of death? How much death are you willing to accommodate? How much stink do you still like in your life? And you may not even smell it, but we do. Other people do. We have so many people that are still being twisted by sin, perverted by sin, And some theologies are telling them, it's okay. We love you anyway. Yeah, we love you, but come on, let's get transformed. Let's get the full blessing of the gospel going inside of us. Amen? As Andrew mentioned, I had a life and death thing 3 years ago. Actually, it was at this conference that, the day after I spoke at this thing. It was a Zoom or live stream because of COVID. And the day after that, I got the phone call that I was about to die and because of a blood test and tumor and the whole thing. I won't go through the whole story. But having gone through that, I now have a different perspective on life, on death, and on what gives life, and on what produces death, and on what I see for my dream, for me, for my family. Things are just different now. I'm perhaps was too tolerant of some things. I can look back now and I can smell some things I didn't smell at the time. I was too tolerant of different things. And now I look back and I think, those things were, that stinks. I don't want to stink. When I'm in ministry, when I'm on the platform, when I'm in class, when whatever I'm doing, I want people to see life. I want them to see the joy of the Lord. You may not think you see it right now, but it's in there. But I'm on a mission right now, okay? We'll laugh later. But I want people to see love. I want people to see compassion. I want people to see Jesus in me. And I can't be playing around with the dead stuff of the world and come and bring you Jesus. I can't do it. It stinks. It's the wrong aroma. Galatians, let's talk about our redemption. Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. I'm going to go through several things here that Jesus did for us that need to become rooted into our very core being. That Jesus became a curse for you. He took the stink of sin and death on himself. He became it. So that you didn't have to live there anymore. You can be free from that. We have been freed from the sin of the curse of sin. He became the curse. Yes, sir. I don't have to make theologies to accommodate my laziness. I don't want that. I want to be transformed. I want to be completely, fully given over to the good things of God. One of the things that I've done more in my life in the last 3 years is I began studying the goodness of God. And I've said this many times now in class and other places, but that study of God's goodness did more for my faith than studying faith. Because I recognized my source on a deeper level than ever before and how good he is. And it says in Psalms, his paths drip with abundance. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And I have hundreds of those kinds of scriptures marked in my Bible. And I go back and I read them over and over because the goodness of God is what gets my faith going. I used to study faith. I still like to teach and study faith, but with a different look at it now. Faith is a symptom. It's not a subject. It's a symptom of your walk with God, of your fellowship with God, of you knowing who he is. Faith smells good. That's a sweet aroma of trusting God. Amen. He became the curse for you. In Colossians 1:13, he has delivered us from the power of the stink. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. People, now I'm sorry here. But you gotta love me, it's biblical. People run around trying to get delivered. What did that verse just say? Do we believe the Bible or not? See, one of the ways to get your smell better is to start believing what the Word says. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Why do you keep trying to get delivered? What you need is the truth to set you free. You need to get into the Word of God and let the truth set you free. You've been delivered. Everything that was against you got nailed to the cross. And he's, because of that, he spoiled principalities and powers. The only thing that can be against you is what you allow to be against you. But if you would receive the truth and decide you want to be the head and the tail, not just theologically, but in reality, you want to be the head and not the tail, get a hold of the truth. It will set you free. You have been delivered from the power of darkness. When people try to accommodate and they talk about generational curses, I'm just pushing my own buttons here. Generational curses. Good grief. We just read he became the curse for us. And we are under what now? Generational blessings. My children are blessed after me. Their children are going to be even more blessed. I expect this to continue to grow. Blessing after blessing after blessing. I'm not worried about generational curses, good grief. That is a theology of stench, of stink. That's not the Bible. We need to get our hearts and our minds in line with what the Word of God says. By His stripes we were healed, not we could be. We were healed. Well, Barry, you had cancer. Yeah, and I'm healed. Amen. Why do you think healing exists? Because sicknesses exist. All right? I had a battle. God won. Amen. But it's because I know that by His stripes I was healed. I am healed. I don't deal with demons. I've been delivered from the power of darkness where it really, really stinks. Where it's the aroma of death all the time, of perversion, of twisted thinking, of darkness and light, everything reversed. I'm out of that world. I am out of it. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. This is a verse that changed my life back in 1980, when I was not doing well in my emotional, mental, spiritual state, and I was lying on the floor of a government-subsidized apartment, counting carpet fibers, and moaning and groaning, and the Lord spoke that verse to me. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin, that you might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. And that came alive. Now I thought that was a full revelation at the time, but I realized since then that revelations come as seeds many times, and they keep producing fruit. They keep growing, the fruits of righteousness. And that revelation of righteousness got me on the path to being who I am today, whatever that means. But who I used to be is not who I am today. Because the righteousness of God began to produce a different aroma. I got out of the inferiority, I got out of the fear, I got out of the shyness, I got out of the trauma of public speaking. Now I love public speaking. That's only God could do that. Only God could do that. That is a sweet smelling savor. That's an aroma of God in me that I can even stand up here and do this. See, God will change you if you'll let Him. But He became sin for you. He took that which is wrong with humanity, that which was wrong with the world, that everything that is creating stench and stink and all of the gross stuff going on in our culture, the immorality that they're trying to legalize and make moral, all of this stuff that's going on right now, He became that to set you free from it. Quit dabbling in it. Quit accommodating it. Quit saying, well, but they really love each other. No, they don't. They don't. They can't, because it's not based on truth. Love is a spiritual thing. Love is not an emotional roller coaster. Love is a spiritual dynamic of God Himself. Don't tell me people of the same sex love each other. That's a lie. They've believed a lie. And Christians that say, well, it's okay. That's a lie. It stinks. It's death. Oh, wow. He became sin. That we were the tail. I'll let your mind run with that. So he became that so that you could become the head. So it's a lot better with the head. Amen. The head has eyes to see. The head can speak. The head can smell. The head can hear God. The tail can't do any of that. The tail has another function. He became sin for you so that you could be free to have God live inside of you, and that you could emanate the sweet savor of Christ, and that you could have the joy of the Lord, that you could have peace, that you could be a vessel of love. He shed his love abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. God poured himself into each and every one of us, and how are we treating that? How are we treating that? Man, but I want my friends to like me. Why? They're dead. They stink. How can you help them if you're just like them? What difference can they see in you? Oh, Joe, he's a Christian now, but he still hangs out with us. Well, in what sense does he hang out with you? Is he still doing the same stuff, or is he witnessing to you? All right? Are y'all following me here? Amen. He became sin. Well, what happened when you become sin? If he became sin so that we might be made righteous, then there are some effects to that. It says in Psalm 103, verses 3 and 4, who forgives all your iniquities. How many of you would say, yeah, that's me? Okay. About 20 of you. Okay. Who heals all your diseases. How many would say, that's me? See, when you deal with the root sin, you've dealt with the fruit sickness. It has no more authority. My son, your sins are forgiven you. Take up your pallet and go. If you deal with the root, you've dealt with the fruit. See, this is what's happened, is that there is that's life. That smells like life. And the Pharisees are sitting there criticizing Jesus. That's death. Criticism. Complaining, complaining and gossip, you're working for the accuser of the brethren. Everything, if it's not just exactly the way you want it, you criticize. I did a message, when was it, last fall in healing school, about the words of your heart. I forget what we called it, but it's not always what you say out loud that means anything, it's what you say after you're alone. The words of your heart, that's what you really believe. And that's where things happen, in your heart. Sickness is a part of the curse. I'm starting to get to my punchline here. Sickness is a part of the curse. Say with me, I refuse to be under the curse. Let's say it. I refuse to be under the curse. I am not going to stink like that anymore. No, you don't have to say that. We'll be here all day, which is not a bad idea. But I refuse to be under the curse. By his stripes, I was healed. I am done with the curse. How many of you are going to join with me today? I'm done with the curse. I'm done with the stink. I'm done with what sin has done to my life and to my family and with the society. I'm done with it. I'm not going to smell anymore. I refuse the stench of sin, of the curse. And I don't care if everybody around me can smell me or not smell me. I know that there's a sweet savor of Christ inside of me. And that will eventually become obvious to everyone. Let's do another one. Second, so he became a curse for us. He became sin for us. Let's do this last one here. Not the last of all my scriptures, but for now. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. You ought to hear the doctors of theology freak out over that verse. Well, it can't possibly mean. It does. Look up the words. He left glory. He could have stayed up there, could have left us down here. He emptied himself. He became poor in the relative sense of the word. He wasn't a vagabond, but in the relative sense of where he had been. But he did that. He became poor on the cross so that you could become rich. Well, Barry, do you mean rich, rich? Yes, I mean rich, rich. But go back to what my former son said. No, he's still my son. I'm super well pleased with him. Amen. Praise God. But that was a tremendous message on the prosperous spirit. Prosperity begins in your spirit. Prosperity it takes over your mind. The renewing of the mind is prosperity. The fruit of the spirit is prosperity. Your emotions, your physical well-being is prosperity. Your relationships, prosperity. Amen. A better marriage. Prosperity, your health, and then we can get into resources, but resources are going to be symptomatic of what's going on in here. This is where prosperity begins. He died and became poor so that you could become rich. If you don't like prosperity, then you need to get unborn again right now, because you went from death to life. If that's not prosperity, I don't know what is. You went from darkness to light. That's prosperity. I'm talking about this. I'm on the same subject here. I hope you're keeping up with me. But we're talking about what Jesus did so you won't stink. And poverty stinks on any level. I'm still rooting out vestiges of poverty in my thinking, in my emotions. I want it gone. God is against everything that creates poverty. When people say, well, we just need to be humble. No, that stinks. In this context, God is against everything that has created poverty in this earth. Why would you embrace it? Why would you make a doctrine to exalt it? Woo! Let's take a vow of poverty. Let's not. God is against sin. Sin caused poverty in the beginning. God is against ignorance. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Ignorance causes poverty. God is against laziness. Go to Proverbs 6, the sluggard. God is against laziness. God is against injustice. Governments are the root cause of much poverty in the world because they are unjust. They are not doing what God called them to do. And just because, well, what about the children in these countries? God is against that. But me being poor doesn't help them. God is against poverty everywhere. Injustice causes poverty. Sickness causes poverty. God's against sickness. I've given you five things right there that God is against. And people say, but I just want to be humble. No, you're not humble. You stink. You've allowed the aroma of death in you with small thinking, small vision, small dreams, if any, nothing. You just want you to make it just barely. And someday in glory, you'll hate glory because there's no poverty there. Two minutes. It's just Andrew and Carrie next, so it doesn't matter. I'm gonna... It's just more bosses. I have bosses everywhere. Anyway, sadness, folks, is a part of the curse. I refuse to be under the curse. Bitterness is a part of the curse. I refuse to be under the curse. Anxiety is a part of the curse. I refuse to be under the curse. Depression is a part of the curse. I refuse to be under the curse. Guilt and condemnation are a part of the curse. When Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, it's a self-condemnation. Who can set me free? The cross. Hallelujah. There's a new smell on the other side of the cross.
Yes, sir.
Self-condemnation and guilt is a part of the curse. Yes. Suicidal thoughts are a part of the curse. Yes. We need, man, folks, if you're having that kind of problem, you need help. You need to come talk to somebody. You stink. Yes. That is stinking thinking. To think I'll take my life and somehow that'll make it better. How is that going to make it better? I'm a new creation. Are you a new creation? Let me just do a couple more minutes here. 2 Peter 1, 2 through 4. 2 Peter 1, 2 through 4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. Is that a good smell, grace and peace? And it can get better, multiplied. Verse 3, it says, divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Does life and godliness smell good?
Yes.
Amen. Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. That smells pretty good. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. That smells really good.
Yes.
Amen. That through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. Ooh, that really smells good. Listen to this. Having escaped the stink, the corruption. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to that stench. Don't try to be accepted by everybody. Walk with God. Walk with God. The corruption that is in the world through lust. John 10:10, the thief doesn't come except to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come. Jesus is putting himself in opposition to something that is the condition of this earth. Stealing, killing, destroying, the stink of immorality, of perversion. And Jesus says, I have come that they might have life. How are we going to reach the world if we don't smell like life? If we're doing the same thing the world is doing, if we're trying to be accepted by the world. And then people criticize you. You preach on healing, you preach on prosperity, and all of a sudden everybody comes out, but what about Job? Yeah, in Hebrews 12:2 it says, looking unto Job. Is it? Starts with a J. What's it say? Looking unto Jesus. These people that keep bringing up Job, take him to Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, I'm not looking unto Job. Job stinks. Job had to repent for his ignorance. Jesus has come to set us free. He's come to set you free from small thinking. He's come to set you free from your human emotions that have ruined relationships. He's come to set you free from bitterness. He's come to set you free from death on every level. He wants to heal you. He wants to bless you. He wants to prosper you. He's not out to get you. He's out to bless you. He is not the thief. God is not the thief. Any theology that says God is a thief, run. God is not your problem. The stench of this world is everywhere, but we have been graced with the aroma of life unto life. We have been graced with the mind of Christ. We have been graced with the Spirit of God. We have the gifts of the Spirit. We have the fruit of the Spirit. We have the blood of Jesus. We have the name of Jesus. We have everything we could possibly need. All the promises we just read to deliver us from the corruption that is in this world through lust. We should be smelling good, folks. And if you're still trapped in something that is stinking, you may think nobody knows. God knows. He wants you free. And it could be the people around you know. I was going to say, look at your neighbor and say, but I won't do that. I'm going to finish up. I want to pray with you. But folks, we have a God who is pressed down, shaken together, running over good. He is exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or think good. We have a good God that is living inside of us, and we should be smelling good. We should be free from all of the stuff that's going on in the world. I don't need to be impressing the people that are in Washington or impressing the people that are in Hollywood. They're dead. They stink. I want to be life. When people see my life, when people see your life, we should say, can you see it? Can you smell it? Look, I'm free. I'm free. Stand up, please. Amen. Praise God. Father, we declare we are free. We are free from the curse. We are free from every little sub-curse, every little tiny curse, all the curses. We are free in the name of Jesus from the stink of the curse, from the stink of sin. We declare ourselves free. You are the greater one who lives in us. We are free from the power of sin. We are free from the power of sickness. We are free from the power of poverty. We are free from the power of small thinking. We are free from the power of fear. We are free from the power of dead dreams. We have living dreams. Praise God. You live in us. and you want to give us whatever our heart desires. Father, we are alive to you. You are alive in us. You are the creator of all things. You live in us right now. And you are wanting to burst out and change the aroma of our lives. And Father, we declare that is what we're going to walk in. We're walking in a new smell, the smell of life. In the name of Jesus, we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you.